I don't know what's coming out. Either the Jones gang or the Malinowitz gang. Shalom Aleichem. Hey. Leon's back. Okay. Monday night, we're in the run about Shavua B'Shem. Okay, we'll learn. We don't always have to say fancy Torah. We could learn and talk about questions and see if we understand it. We have the Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran. The Rabbeinu Tam made a chilek, which I saw. There's a different pshat in Rabbeinu Tam, which we'll see today, Mitzvah Hashem. But the Ran understood Rabbeinu Tam as saying that when you're mushbo mipi acherim, when I make the shvua for you. Okay, let's get back into it. The classic mushbo mipi acherim is I say I place you under oath. I mashbia you, and I can be mashbia you about anything. The classic case in the Gemara and the Mishnah is Shvua Sa'edus, where the Pasuk talks about my being mashbia you, that you don't know Edus, that would help me get money from someone. That's Vishoma Kol Allah. That's the Lashon HaPasuk in Vayikra, and that's how we know it's talking about Mushbo Mipi Acherim, because it heard the Shvua. So someone placed it under oath. And the classic case is that the person then repeated without saying the word shvua. They said, indeed, ein ani yodea lecha edus, or indeed, lo ochal ki kerzeh, and that's called mushma mipi acherim. That helps by shvuas edus. It's a zeros hakosut. The pasuk's talking about it. It helps by shvuas hapikadon. We learn out zeros shova. But it does not help by shvuas bitui. If I put you under oath and you repeat lo ochal ki kerzeh, there's no shvua. There's no parsha of my placing you under oath. There's no mushma mipi acherim by shvuas bitui. Rabbeinu Tam says that, and we said that it must be a logical, it must be logic, or else how can you say such a thing? It must be logical. So although he seems to say it's because of the psukim, but on our own, this is what we say when you have a svara that's logical and not compelling, not necessarily compelling, but logical, on our own, we wouldn't interpret the pasuk that way. We wouldn't say that the pasuk that learns out that a shvua needs shem is only by shvua sa'edus, indeed, because it's learned out from sota, which was also the coin placing her under oath. We wouldn't say such a thing, because, you know, on our own we wouldn't say something. Rabbeinu Tam says that that's taka very bedafka. It's very bedafka. That the Shem Hashem has to be said only when you're placed under oath by someone else. Now, because you learn it out from Sota. Sota's where it says Shem Hashem. That the Shvuah is B'Shem Hashem. And you learn out to Shvuah Sa'edus. So it's the Mushma Mipi Acherim Shvuah Sa'edus. The Ran says, what are you talking about? He literally says that. Utmaheni Pech Kadosh Eich Omar Dover Zeh. How could the Rabbeinu Tam, you know, so we said the Pshat in Pech Kadosh Eich Omar Dover Zeh is that even if sometimes a person will make an intellectual mistake, but a Pech Kadosh wouldn't make a mistake in Torah. Kadosh, so Hashem wouldn't be mazmenit to make a mistake. Maybe that's Pshat in the Ran's exclamation. Pech Kadosh Eich Omar Dover Zeh. Why? Because Sota is Omein. Omein is Kamotzi Shvua Mipiv Dami. We said, what's the Ran talking about? Obviously, Sota has elements of both. You know, even though you learn out from Sota that Omein is, like you said, the Shvua, it's like Nishba Mipi Atzmo, and therefore by Shvua's Bitui, if someone says, I place you under oath, you're not going to eat this kikar, and you say, Omein, you're not allowed to eat the kikar. It's not called Mushba Mipi Acherim. Omein is, in Shmuel's inimitable words, Kalaone Omein Acher Shvua Kamotzi Shvua Mipivdami. And that's learned out from Sota, and again, the Ran in impeccable logic says, because if it's not mushma mipi atzmo, it ain't mushma mipi acherim either. Because you didn't say anything, you just said amen. So if amen, meaning, and there's nothing magic about the word amen, not a magic word, it's not abracadabra. Amen means I affirm what you said, I accept what you said, I accept and affirm, and indeed, it's like saying okay, I accept what you said. So now, Shmuel saying a chiddush, you know, we used to amen, yeah, amen. But it's not, it's heavier than that. Amen, when I say, as we saw that if shomea ka'one, if you hear a bracha, you could be yotzei. You don't have to say amen. If you hear it, you have kavana to be yotzei, and he has kavana to be motzi you, so you yotzei. But if you say amen, you've ratcheted up. And that's even the Lashon HaRambam. It's like you made the bracha. Because you said something. You didn't just sit there like a goyim quiet and listen. And somehow there's a dynamic called Shomea Ka'oneh, which is also learned out from a pasuk, rather. Moran Sukkah learns out, of course. It's not Svara. We learn out from a pasuk that Shomea Ka'oneh. But it's ratcheted up when you say Amen. Because you said something. So amen, you say, is like kamotzi shvua mipivdami. It's kamotzi bracha mipivdami. That's the Rambam's lashon. By shomea kaone yoyotze. You didn't eat without a bracha. Yoyotze the chayvus bracha. Amen is you said a bracha. Saying, I accept. You're saying a bracha, and I am affirming that. By a bracha, you wouldn't say I accept. You would say I affirm it. Amen. I'm also declaring that it's true, that it's so. That Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shakol Niyeh B'Dvaro. I'm affirming that. I'm agreeing with it. So that affirmation is the equivalent. Whatever nuance you enjoy better, it's the same with the equivalent of making a bracha. Affirming a bracha is like making a bracha. That's the point of amen. Affirming a bracha is like making a bracha.
But by sota, if she makes the bracha herself, it's not valid.
So that's what we said.
But he said amen.
You're right. Sota, ironically, if she mamish went ahead and made the shvua, it wouldn't be good. The kohen has to place her under oath, and she has to say amen. So. I wonder if the Kohen placed her under oath and she said Shvua Shalo Zonisi Amish Zeh. Probably that would be good. I don't know. No, it wouldn't be good. Because then she's independent of the Kohen. I just realized. If the Kohen would place her under oath, the way it says in Chumash, and she would respond not by saying Amen, she would respond by making a full-fledged Shvua. Shvua Shalo Zonisi Amish Zeh. I'll bet you it wouldn't be good. Because you know what she did by doing that? She cut the coin out of the picture. She's now made an independent shvua. She doesn't need the coin anymore. There's no more coin in the picture.
Right, but my
and that's no good. No. So Al-Karchach Sota has two elements. It has the element of Mushbu Mipi Acherim, because the coin places her under oath. And Grada, for some reason, the Torah wanted the severity of an Amein, rather than the less intense type of shvua of real mushma. You know, there would be real mushma mipi acherim, like shvua sa'edus, a case. So she would repeat, lo zonisi amishzeh. That would make it a real, good old-fashioned mushma mipi acherim. But the Torah wants her to be more heavily, a more intense shvua, amen. But she still has to hook up with the Kohen. So therefore the Torah has her saying Amen. So the Kasha is now the Ran. Rabbi Natan's great, because the Kohen has to place her under oath. He has to. So she says Amen. That's how the Torah wants her to respond, by saying Amen. But if she responded by making her own Shvua, it wouldn't be good.
But isn't Amen elevating to the point that she's...
Yeah, but she's still hooked up to the Kohen. In other words, so it has two elements. It has a mushma mipi acherim element, This is the requirement that the Torah had by Sota, because the Kohen's part of the process, and he places her under oath. She's in the Beis HaMikdash, she has to bring a korban, like the whole scene. So Lechora, Rabbeinu Tam, now we go back to Rabbeinu Tam, and we view Rabbeinu Tam like from the perspective of the Ran's Kasha on him. And we say Rabbeinu Tam makes perfect sense. Even though you learn out from Sota that Ona Omen Achar Shvua Kamotzi Shvua Mipivdami, but Rabbeinu Tam understood that the requirement of the Shem Hashem is because of the Mushbu Mipiacherim element that's in Sota, which has to be there. We can't dispense with it. It wouldn't be good if she just made a Shvua. So there is an element of Mushbu Mipiacherim, meaning the Kohen, not magic words, the Kohen must place her under oath. So that's why you need Shem Hashem. What does the Ran want from Rabbeinu Tam? Al Korchach, there's an aspect of Sota where the Kohen has to place her under oath. And that's, so Rabbeinu Tam understood that that's the part that needs Shem Hashem. So what's the Ran getting all excited about?
What? The reason that she's much more Piacherim on Sota is because the Kohen has to be part of the picture. And that's why.
So she's also much more Piacherim.
So she has to be.
Yeah, but if you would ask me, bottom line, the Shvua Sota, what category is it in? Multiple choice. No. She said, Amen. Lamaisa in Hilchah Shvua, it's both. I mean, it's both. There's a Mushma Piacherim element, because he placed her under oath. There's a Mushma Piatsmo element, because she said, Amen. In fact, we learn out from her that saying Amen is Kamotzi Shvua Mipivdami. So Rabbeinu Tam said, you know why you need Shem Hashem by Sota or by Shvua Sa'edus? And Mamela, because you learn it out from Sota, that's what Rabbeinu Tam said, the Mushmu Mipiacherim angle. And the Ran says, no, how could you say that? Bottom line, Sota's Mushmu Mipiacherim. I think the Machlokas is why you need Shem Hashem in the Shvua. This is pure speculation. I have no raya. No, Rabbeinu, because the Ran, I'm speculating now. The Ran looks at it this way. You need Shem Hashem when you make a Shvua. Sota, like, there has to be a bottom line, what type of Shvua it is. There's only two categories. There's Mushma Piacherim and Mushma Piatzmo. Sota is Mushma Piatzmo. At the end of the day, in the legality of the Shvua, in the story, the Kohen had to place her under oath also. But in the legality of the Shvua, if right, in the legality, in the legal category of the Shvua, what type of Shvua did she make? Oh, Rabosai.
Would it be binding if she didn't say Amen?
I hold it would not be binding. It would be binding as a regular Shvua, but it wouldn't be Sota. The water wouldn't work. In other words, if she said Shvua Shelo Zanisi,
No. If she didn't say, if she didn't respond
if she,
at all.
At all. For sure it's no good.
Like somebody else made, she's saying.
No, that's for sure no good. I'm saying more. Even if she responded like a regular Mushma Mipiacherim by Shvua Sa'edus, even if she said, Lo Zonisi Meyish Zeh, which is the response of a total Mushma Mipiacherim, it also wouldn't be good. The Torah demands the intensity of a Mushma Mipiatzmo. I'm saying both ways. If she said plain Lo Zonisi Meyish Zeh, remaining a Mushma Mipiacherim wouldn't be good. And if she said Lo Zonisi, if she said Shavua Shelo Zonisi Miyishzeh, it also wouldn't be good, because by making a complete Shavua on her own, she uncoupled herself from the Kohen. And it also wouldn't be good. Like, the Torah demands this hybrid. So I think the Ran holds that the Shem Hashem is needed by a Shavua as part of your Shvua, like it's a legal part of your Shvua. Just like you have to say the word Shvua, you have to say the Shem Hashem. It's like part and parcel of what a Shvua is. So then, I think the Ran. So, what? I know. I'm talking about if you would need. He's asking a kasha. I mean, the Ran's asking a kasha. I'm in the Ran's rejection of Rabbeinu Tam's teretz. The Ran holds Shvua doesn't need Shem, but if you would need Shem, so it would be a requirement of the Lashon HaShvua. So he says, listen, the fact that the Kohen has to be mashbia her does not change the nature of her shvua. If you had a, you know, again, you know, what's her shvua? Her shvua is a mushmur mipiatzma shvua. The story, it's like the larger picture of Sota is a hybrid. Like the story is a hybrid. He places her under oath and she says amen. But the legal category of her shvua, it's like you have to choose. Is it a benot machaveru or is it a benot machamachal? Is it a mitzvah saseh or a mitzvah lo saseh? Sometimes you have to choose. Like, what, you know, what category is it in? Sota's in the category of mushmur piatzmo, and it needs Shem. So how could we suggest that you only need Shem by mushmur piacherim? While I think Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's not necessarily the necessity for Shem Hashem is the way we said the other time. When it's being imposed by someone else, it's taken more seriously, or it's, if you don't say the Shvua with your own mouth, so you're not necessarily hooking up with Hashem, so if someone else puts you under oath, you need the Shem Hashem to explicitly state that you're hooking up with Hashem, which is the definition of Shvua. So then in that, you would say in the Sota, where the Kohen places her under oath, so the necessity for Shem Hashem is not mitzad the nusach of the shvua, but mitzad, like, you know, mitzad the story. The miser, the coin's placing her under oath, so he has to say Shem Hashem. Okay.
Well,
no, but the Ran Lamaisa, we have to see, because the Ran Lamaisa insists you don't have to say Shem Hashem. By Sota, you do. That's a pasuk. You learn out. It says in the pasuk. Good. So the Ran's going to say it there. So the Ran's going to explain. We didn't finish the Ran. The Ran's going to explain why every. That the psukim always talk about Shem Hashem. We said is probably mitzad the concept of a shvua. That with shvua you're always hooking up with Hashem. That everybody's molded to. That we said on day one. Otherwise, like, Shua needs Shem Hashem or doesn't need Shem Hashem. Like, where you're coming from? Like, why should? Like, who said anything about Shem Hashem? Teretz Shua is Shua Hashem. So by so, if the Torah said you need Shem Hashem, maybe to scare her, maybe for the curse angle. We don't know. Okay, let's finish the round. We'll see. Whatever. So that's the Ran and the Ben on Tam. So he said, yeah. Now, so we ended up with a very nice suffix. What would the Ben on Tam hold every time if someone puts me under oath and I say Amen? No, it's Shmuel's case. Ha'ona Amen Acha Shvua Kemotzi Shvua Mipiv Dami. Would you need Shem Hashem? What would the Rabbeinu Tam hold? So we said it depends what's Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam. If the Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam is that whenever the context of Shvua is created by someone else, so he has to say Shem Hashem. So then every time you say Amen, the Shvua context is created not by you, but it's created by someone else. So you need Shem Hashem, right? But if Pshat Rabbeinu Tam is that a Sota is a hybrid, it has an element of Mushmu and Piacherim, because she needs the Kohen to be Mashbiyaha, otherwise it wouldn't be good, it wouldn't work. So it's a hybrid of a Mushmu and Piacherim and a Mushmu and Piatzmo, and he holds you need Shem Hashem for the Mushmu and Piacherim angle. But then doesn't have any mushbur piacherim angle because it's not necessary. So if I say I'm mashbia you that you shouldn't eat this kikar, and you say amen, so I say according to that understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, then you would not need Shem Hashem. So it's very like, you know, you talk lamdas and then you realize you have such a very practical, down-to-earth nafkamina, and you don't even know what to say. Rabbeinu Tam says that you're so, and you're not even sure. In every every amein situation of Shvuah, do you need Shem Hashem or not? Okay. Okay. So. Not everybody, you know what, let's learn the Rosh. The Rosh has a different understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran obviously understood Rabbeinu Tam as getting into the categories of Mushbar Pi Acherim and Mushbar Pi Asmal. If you turn to the Rosh, which is the first thing in the back of the Gemara after the Gemara finishes, usually, Simon Aleph, the first paragraph. So, Kol Kinuyin Dorm. How did the Kinuyin L'Shvuos? Why did they make Kinuyin for Shvuos? Geichad L'Leim L'Shvuos Hashem. What would be the reason? The Ran asks this question too. What would be the reasoning for making Kinuyin for Shvuos? It's like you shouldn't say Hashem. And Kemashma, so we see that Shvuah Bekinui Beloy Haskaras Hashem Hav Yeshvuah. Bekosha, the Perek Shvuah Sa'edus, Mashma Deloy Hav Yeshvuah Beloy Haskaras Hashem. The Tanya Hosu Mitan Hashem Osach Lola Be Yeshvuah. Matam Adlom Lofi Shnema Vishoma Kol Ola by Sota. Nema Kanola Vlam Lahalon Ola Makan Beshem Aflahalon Beshem. Bechem Berei Shvuah Sadayonim. Now look at how the Rosh says over Rabbeinu Tam. The Dafka Mushbar Pi Acherim Dunya Desota Kemo Shvuah Sa'edu. So far, so good. But now he drops a bombshell. The Rosh, at least. Ushvuos hadayonim. Shvuos hadayonim is when you're in Beis Din and they make you swear. They make you swear. Shvuos modim mitzvos, shvuos hashomrim, right? There's an eid echad. There's three scenarios where a person has to swear in Beis Din. The Rosh says over Rabbeinu Tam that that's also would require Shem Hashem. That's called Mushmer Pi Acherim. Look at how he says the second half of the sentence. Avo Shvua Sheoser Nafsho Beloshem Shvua Afilu Beloshem Uvekinui Motzi Oser Nafsho. But if you want to use Shvua to ask something on yourself, go ahead. You want to need Shem Hashem for. So, the bombshell is Shvua Sadayonim, and the way he says the second half of the sentence, it's clear the Rosh is not differentiating between the legal mushbo mipi acherim and the legal mushbo mipi atzmo. He's differentiating conceptually. When the shvua is imposed min achutz, someone imposes a shvua on you. So that, you see, shvuos hadayonim rabosai, in terms of mushbo mipi atzmo, mushbo mipi acherim, is absolutely mushbo mipi atzmo. They just force you to swim, that's all. But the shvua you make is mushma piatzmo. So you see that he learned in Rabbeinu Tam totally different than the Ran. The Ran's talking about mushma piachere, mushma piatzmo. You know, he uses those words too. But then by saying shvuas hadayonim needs shem Hashem, shvuas hadayonim is 100% mushma piatzmo. And then look at the second half of the sentence. But when you ask, Avol Shvua, you have to read it carefully, Avol Shvua she'oser nafsho, b'loshen Shvua, afilu b'lo shem u'b'loi kinui, motzi osar nafsho. Clear, the Rosh clearly is learning Rabbeinu Tam, when it's voluntary, you don't need shem Hashem, when it's imposed against your will, so to speak, menachutz, someone imposes a Shvua on you, even if you end up making the shvuah yourself, like shvuas hadayonim, that's what you need shem Hashem. So that's a whole different differentiation than the Ran understood the Rabbeinu Tam. But that's how the Rosh Lechora says.
According to the Rosh, do they have the person that opposes the shvuah? Do they have to have some kind of authority to do so?
Yeah. I mean, how else are they imposing? Beis Din imposes a shvuah on you.
Right.
You can't impose a shvuah on me. Okay. You can't. So, the Kohen makes us swear, and Shvuos Eidus is I make you swear. Yeah. because I make you swear whether or not you know Eidus. And Shvuos Hadayonim, meaning all the cases of Bezdin, where I'll be Gemara Bav Metzia, or Gemara Shvuos, you have to swear that Shvuos Hadayonim, but certainly as Mushmer Piatzmo, but that's called imposement achutz and voluntary. So it's a whole new, I guess again, you have to, here it's pure Svara, no Psukim here. If it's imposement achutz, I don't know, it's like pure Svara. When it's voluntary, so we don't make it, we don't, I don't know, we don't have a requirement of Shem Hashem. I don't really, he makes it sound like you want to ask for yourself, go ask for yourself, what do I care? I'm gonna make it harder for you, go do what you want. So I'll make it easier for you, don't need Shem Hashem. I guess the pshat, according to the Rosh, is, again, that the Shem Hashem is like, I'm imposing something on you, it's like scary.
It's just scary, I think it's... You, a person could have a svara to himself. Yeah, they made me swear. I didn't really want to. So it doesn't really count. Like someone forced me to sign a contract. So it's not a good contract.
So Hashem, Hashem, how
does Hashem? Hashem is adding a weight to it, a seriousness to it. The person feels he really.
Okay. Yeah. You know, so again, according to the Ran and Rabbeinu and the Rosh, apparently have different understandings of Rabbeinu Tam. It would be nice, time doesn't allow for it. I don't. To search for the original Rabbeinu Tam. Where did Rabbeinu Tam say this? A lot of things Rabbeinu Tam said in Sefer HaYoshel, Rabbeinu Tam. I wonder if that's there. And you go back to where Rabbeinu Tam said it, and then you see like how he said it. Because they obviously, the Rosh and the Ran, very obviously have different interpretations of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam just said, Mushim Piyachir, Mushim Yatzmo. So the Ran understood it one way, and the Rosh very clearly understood it a different way. Okay. Eitan.